Everyone has questions. Why am I here? Where will I go when I die? Is there really truth? But not everyone has biblical answers. Welcome to The Pastor Study, a ministry of pastorstudy.org. Join us now as we study the Bible to draw closer to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Here is Pastor Tom Brock.
Welcome to the Pastor Study, everyone. I want to introduce you to Tom Steller. I'd shake hands, but it's COVID time. So Tom is an old friend of mine, and he is involved in missions work over in Africa, Cameroon. And so welcome, Tom.
Thank you, Tom. It's good to be here.
So we're going to just pick Tom's brain about missions, why we should care, and let's start with that one. Most of the people watching our show hopefully have their own church that they go to regularly. And maybe their churches don't even think about sending money overseas because they're concerned with their own budget or whatever. Yeah. Why should Christians matter or concern themselves with foreign missions?
That's a great question. And when I first came to Bethlehem Baptist Church back in 1980...
In Minneapolis,
our focus really was on the city. What can we do to change Minneapolis? You know, we cared about missions, and if you love Jesus, how can you not care about missions? But we had a misunderstanding that missions had to do with bringing the gospel to every country in the world, but the church was in every country, and so let's focus right here. Until we realized that when the Bible talks about nations, it's not talking so much about countries like the United Nations, it's talking more about people groups like the Sioux Nation or the Dakota Nation. And then when you look at the world that way, like for example, Cameroon, it's one country, but it's 290 languages.
Wow.
In Cameroon. And when Jesus says, go and make disciples of all the nations, he's got that in mind, that every tribe and tongue and people and nation will be gathered up and be worshiping the Lord forever. And so our goal as a church is to fulfill the Great Commission and therefore care about all the peoples of the world, and so many of them are bypassed.
So what, did you stop centering then on your city mission and added something, or how did you...
Yeah, that's a good question. And that became a... We had kind of a missions renewal in 1983, and we already had a good focus on the city, and so there was some concern with all this missions, foreign missions focus, what about the city? And we realized that it's not either or, It's both and.
Right.
And so we are commanded to love our neighbor right here in Minneapolis and St. Paul. But at the same time, don't neglect the bigger picture. And so we've tried to balance the two over the years.
And I would just say to people watching, if your church doesn't have a missions program, a foreign missions program, that should be a priority for you. Mm-hmm. And to get that into your church, the church I served for so mm-hmm. many years as well, they had a number of missionaries mm-hmm. that we supported. So let's talk about your mission now, Tom. They used to say years ago that in a few years, Africa would be more Christian than the United States. Is that true now, or what do you think?
That's a great question. And I can't give you the exact numbers, but the gospel has spread substantially in Africa, especially Central and South Africa. And many denominations, many believers that are true believers, but there's lots of mixture, and there's lots of syncretism, and there's
With false religions?
With false religions, and so...
Syncretism meaning mixing together.
Yeah, it's just mixing together. So you might... go to church on Sunday, but if you're sick, you'll go to the witch doctor on Tuesday.
Okay.
You know, and that kind of thing.
Is that true in Cameroon?
Oh, absolutely.
Where is Cameroon? Is it north, central? Where is it?
Cameroon is, it's, I always called it West Africa, but it's really technically Central Africa.
Central Africa.
Yeah, so it's right next to Nigeria.
Okay.
And it's on the coast, and it's surrounded by Gabon and Chad.
And are most people in Cameroon technically anyway Christian or Muslim, or what are they?
Yeah, in the north, there's much more of a Muslim presence in the north, although there are Muslims throughout. In Yaoundé, the capital city where I will be focused, there's a Muslim quarter, and with just a large Muslim population right in Yaoundé. But in the south of Cameroon, it's predominantly Christian influenced.
What percentage would claim Christianity in Cameroon? Do you know?
Boy,
is it more Muslim than Christian, would you say?
Throughout Cameroon, it's more Christian than Muslim.
Is it? Okay. Yeah. And what's the history? Did the Church of England come in with Dr. Livingston, I presume? How did they get Christianity?
Yeah, that's a good question. Roman Catholics came earlier, but as far as evangelicals, the first missionary to Cameroon that we know of came in 1846, and his name was Merrick, and he was Jamaican-born, and he was the son of a slave.
Oh.
And he came and he brought the gospel to Cameroon.
Is this like a Baptist or?
Yeah, I'm not even sure what denomination
okay.
he was.
Okay, what denominations are big in Cameroon?
The Baptist is big in terms of evangelical. Then there's some Pentecostal denominations. Foursquare is a big denomination.
Oh.
There are Presbyterians and others as well.
Catholicism big?
Catholicism is big.
Okay.
In Cameroon, there's two official languages. There's 290 languages, but there's two government and education languages. There's French and English. The English side is much smaller part of Cameroon, and the much larger part is French-speaking. And so the French-speaking side is much more predominantly Roman Catholic.
Okay.
Whereas,
and there's kind of two different kinds of Catholics, the extremely traditional, and then there's the more evangelical.
Yeah.
Where would they line up?
That's a good question. My guess is that there's diversity.
Okay.
Diversity there. There's some that I think are really concerned about their faith and trying to do good things with Christian motives.
Okay.
And, but there's liberalism even in the Catholic Church.
Let's ask this: Are there liberal? You know, we preach on this show a lot about the very liberal Protestant denominations in America. Are they? But it seems to me that the missionaries, even from the liberal denominations, tend to be more evangelical. Am I right?
Oh, I think that's true.
Okay.
Yeah.
How about the cults?
Yeah, there's Jehovah's Witnesses are there. Mormons are there.
Okay.
And. But probably one of the more, I wouldn't call this a cult, but it's an emphasis that I think is distracting from the pure gospel, and it's just called the health, wealth, prosperity gospel.
Yeah,
is,
in America too.
It came from America.
Yeah.
It's one of America's exports. And so, but it hits hard, especially in cultures where there's more poverty.
Yeah. And they think if I come to Jesus, I'm going to get rich.
Well, their pastor is really rich.
Yeah.
You know, and he preaches a message, if you give this money to our organization, you will be blessed, and we'll send you a handkerchief, or we'll send you something special, and then you will have
God's daughter
blessing.
Will be healed, and
that's
your
right.
marriage will be
yeah.
healed,
yeah.
and sadly, that's all over American Christianity,
yeah.
too.
Yeah, a lot of heartache.
So, Tom, what do you do? What's your job in Cameroon?
Yeah, my new title, and I've been at Bethlehem for 40 years.
At Bethlehem Baptist,
Church in Minneapolis for 40 years.
But now there's a
40
change.
Years, and
yep.
there's a change coming. And I'm now transitioning to a mission agency that Bethlehem helped to start 11 years ago called Training Leaders International. And it's a mission agency that is focused on trying to bring biblical and pastoral training to pastors that have not had a lot of training.
Okay.
And some hardly any training at all.
Okay.
And so that's the focus of that mission.
So
and
you go overseas and you theologically and biblically train the pastors. Is that
yes.
what you're doing?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
And how's it going?
Well, it's been exciting.
They have a seminary now?
They have a seminary. I've been going over there since 1990 was my first time there.
Oh.
And I taught at a seminary in the northwest province of Cameroon in the English-speaking side. And my family moved over there, and it was a wonderful time, an eye-opening time. And it
okay.
just gave me a heart for theological training in Africa. And then over the years, I've been back with countless trips of teaching intensive courses and so forth. At Bethlehem Baptist Church, we've started a church-based college and seminary. called Bethlehem College and Seminary. And it's been wonderful to have it so linked in with the church. And we're training people that are going around the world, really. And but one of our students, who was Cameroonian, and he came and studied with us, and he felt called to go back to Cameroon, focus on the French side of the country, which was less reached, and to try to bring theological education in the context of the local church.
And, you know, years ago, we'd kind of send white missionaries into Africa or Asia or whatever, and now the new model is to let the local people run things. Am I right?
Yeah, I think that's the ideal. So I view my role as a partner with Dr. Tamfu, and I'm so excited for his leadership. He's got gifting. He's grew up in Cameroon. He knows the culture. He has connections. And so I'm coming alongside him to help in any way I can. So I'll be doing some teaching in the seminary. He does more teaching than I do. He's the executive director of the seminary.
Okay.
I don't have an official role.
Okay.
My role with Training Leaders International is director of theological education in Cameroon. But most of what I'll do is in supporting this work with the seminary.
Good. Well, let me ask you this. Let's say somebody's watching this show. They go to a good church, but that church does not support missionaries. How does a church go about finding good how does a layperson, or hopefully maybe some pastors watching this who don't support missions, how do they start?
That's a good question. Is a lot of people they don't know much about missions, but they might know Aunt Mabel does, or Cousin Henry, or a friend over in the school. You know, I went to school with this person, and he was missions-minded.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to people.
Mm-hmm.
That's one way, and just to hear what they hear.
Uh-huh.
But also, I mean, just what's on the internet now. I mean, there's a lot of really weird stuff on the internet. But I think you could say, now, is there a certain part of the world that I'm interested in?
Uh-huh.
And then they could go and begin to research Cameroon, for example, and biblical training in Cameroon, and then you'll see what's happening, and you can kind of educate yourself.
And so if somebody is watching this and they want to support your ministry, is there a website, or how do they find out about you and how to support the work you're doing in Cameroon?
Yeah, I appreciate that. We've got a website called tomsteller.com, and gives you a good introduction to what we're doing and the school that we're working
with.
That's
his name.
Yeah,
yes.
That's right. And and it focuses a lot on my ministry partner, Dr. Tamfu, and a lot of pictures and maps, I'm quite pleased with this. I'm not known as a webmaster, but we've created a website that I think is helpful.
So there's a mission people could support.
Absolutely.
Go to your church council or your pastor and say, Pastor, we really need to start supporting missions more. And there's one they could do.
Yeah.
There's also the Jesus Film Project.
Absolutely.
There's something called Reaching Unreached Nations. Are you aware of this one?
I've heard of it.
It's this. Remember, the Secretary of the Interior, James Watt.
Mm-hmm.
This is his son.
Ah.
And the Reaching Unreached Nations.
Okay.
Is going after the Muslims overseas.
Okay.
And they're bringing Taliban to Christ.
Isn't that something?
And then there's something called the Timothy Initiative, which, you know about that?
Mm-hmm.
Also very good ministry. So, but Tom's, if you want to support somebody in Cameroon, there's Tom's ministry. And Tom, we got more time here. How did you get a burden? I mean, you were a pastor at a church for many years.
Yeah.
And how did you get a burden that I want to go overseas, I want to reach the lost overseas? What happened to you?
That's a great question. Well, I grew up Roman Catholic, so in a kind of a devout home, and then I became a hippie wannabe for a number of years.
I remember those years, Tom.
And
we knew each other in college.
But then, by God's grace, my oldest sister came to Christ, and she started sharing the gospel with me, and I just realized that even if I had everything I wanted in this world, it was not what I needed. I needed forgiveness for my sins, and I needed a purpose to live for. And so I came to Christ, and then the time Yeah, I was right when I was 17, and then I had to go to college when I was 18. I didn't want to go anywhere, but my parents wanted me to go to a liberal arts college, and all I wanted to do was study the Bible. And I found out that the school had a liberal arts focus with a Bible department. Mm-hmm. Went there, and John Piper was a professor there.
He taught me Greek there.
Yep, he did. Yep, we were roommates together.
We were in college.
And he had a big impact on me. And then I went out to Fuller Seminary, and just out there, just felt a calling into pastoral ministry. And while I was out there, Dr. Piper sent me a letter. He said, "I feel irretrievably called to leave teaching and to go into pastoral ministry." And then the next letter, he said, "Am I crazy?" And I said, "Yes," because he was just the best teacher.
He certainly was. Yeah.
But then a couple months later, he sent me another letter. He said, "Bethlehem Baptist Church in downtown Minneapolis has called me to serve there. Would you like to come and join me?" And so I came in 1980. We started together at the same time in 1980 into a historic church. We're going to celebrate our 150th anniversary this year.
Bethlehem Baptist, downtown Minneapolis.
Yeah, but it was kind of on one of the low ebb, and they mm-hmm. didn't want to die, so they hired this young pastor. And missions, they have a history of missions, but nothing was really going too strong. And neither John nor I were really awakened to missions. We weren't against missions, but it just wasn't on our heart. We wanted to change the city and reach college students, university students. But then 1983, something happened that we were more the victims of the Spirit's work than the cause of it. And our eyes were just open to the mandate to go and bring the gospel to all the nations.
Last words of Jesus on earth, go ye therefore.
Yep. And what the key insight that really changed us was the idea that nation does not equal Cameroon is one nation in the United Nations, but in Cameroon there are probably 300 ethno-linguistic groupings of people, and that's what's meant by the scope of the gospel, to bring people from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. It says in Revelation 5 that Jesus was slain and purchased people for God from every tribe and tongue and nation. Mm-hmm. So if you love Jesus and you love his atonement, his mm-hmm. work, somehow we need to care for the unreached peoples of the world.
All right, if I can ask the hard question when it comes to missions, do you believe someone has to hear about Jesus to be saved?
I do.
Okay. And how, just for our people watching this that think that's unfair, how do you respond to that?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. And it's really one of those questions where I'm so thankful that in heaven we'll have the perfect clear answer that
yes.
satisfies all of us.
Yes.
But I think that you know, God's creation tells us enough to hold us accountable, that God is glorious and he is to be thanked.
Romans 1.
Yep, Romans 1. And yet we all take that truth and we suppress it.
Yes,
and
we do.
We hold it down. And why God has his timing of bringing the gospel when he does, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But I do believe, I have no warrant to say, but he'll save people another way.
No.
I think Jesus says there's only one way to the
John
Father,
14,
and it's through
6.
Him.
Mm-hmm.
And
so if you don't hear the gospel, you cannot be saved.
Right. I mean, a lot depends what your understanding of children in the womb and, you know,
uh-huh.
pre-accountability and so forth. I mean, that's a complex issue.
Yeah.
But
you know, also, I think a lot of people use that question as a smokescreen.
Uh-huh.
They don't really care about people in Africa that have never heard the gospel.
Yeah.
I heard somebody say, well, let's, you know, God will deal with the people in Africa, but what about you?
Yeah.
You've heard about Christ, and you're not accepting him.
Yep.
What about you?
Yeah.
You can't use the people in Africa as an excuse not to come to Christ.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I just fall back on, you know, shall not the judge of all the earth
do right. Yeah.
You know, so I have no question. I mean, there are so many things that have come together for me in the Bible that I would have never, ever seen on my own that now make just beautiful, perfect sense to
mm-hmm.
me.
Mm-hmm.
And so the things that are still hard out there, they're going to be resolved.
Right.
someday.
Well, and you know, again, on this show, we talk about the tragedy of liberal Protestantism. Mm-hmm. The Lutheran Church, the Methodist Church, the Episcopal Church, the Congregational Church, which is the most liberal mm-hmm. now, they used to have mission zeal because they believed that lost people without Christ are going to hell. Now these denominations, their missions program have shrunk because, hey, they're all saved. Everybody's saved. Yeah. God is love. Yeah. You know. And so if you take away the belief that people need Christ to be saved, you get a social gospel.
That's right.
You'll get social justice, but you won't get missionaries going overseas.
Yeah.
And so, Tom, are people funding what you're doing, or is it hard going, or what's happening?
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, my role at Bethlehem for 40 years, 18 of those years was as the missions pastor.
And
20 years was leadership development. But as a missions pastor, I would come alongside all of our missionary candidates. We've sent out a lot of missionaries over the years, and I would hold their hand during their support raising process and say, God's going to bring it in, trust him, and just try to lift up the flag for them. And now I'm in that boat where I have to raise my entire support. I'm about 30% of the way there. And so I'm getting to experience what all these people have walked through. And it's been a delight. It really has.
Has it?
It has been.
It doesn't sound like it.
No, I mean, what it's doing, it just gives me a chance to share the vision, a vision of Jesus, a vision of God and why he's worth everything, and then a vision for the work, and that I love to do that. I'm not good at saying, okay, now get your checkbook out. I'm not very...
But you go to churches and speak.
I go to churches
and speak.
So
people, if you're interested in Tom speaking at your church when this COVID thing gets over or whatever, give him a call.
That'd be great.
Yeah. And you know, Tom, this ministry, this TV ministry, I don't know how to run a computer or do a website or to run these cameras. God has just put these people, the volunteers, around me. Yeah. And the reason I believe this is from God is I can't do this.
That's right.
And then the money. It's a lot of money to put on the air, to buy airtime across the country. It's coming in.
It is necessary.
So if the Lord's in it, it'll happen.
Yep.
And if the Lord is calling you to do this, you know, you have to be faithful in doing what he tells you to do. But it's called a relaxed concern. Yeah, I'm concerned that there's money coming, but I'm relaxed because if it's from the Lord, it'll happen.
Yeah.
Well, Tom, any other thoughts about, we got about 4 minutes here. Any other thoughts about Cameroon, world missions, getting Americans to be concerned about the lost? I mean, America's as lost as anybody.
Yeah.
I mean, do you think Cameroon, and when you go over there and do your thing, do you sense the culture, anyway, is more Christian or less Christian than America? What do you think? Do they have the abortion in Cameroon like we have?
Not like we have, by any means.
And pornography and gay marriage and stuff?
Well, thanks to the internet and so forth, it's much more accessible there.
How about gay marriage?
The internet. Gay marriage would be very looked down on.
For the most part. It's not legal there.
A lot of places it wouldn't be legal.
Okay.
And so in that sense, it's more conservative.
Okay.
And but I think one of the burdens that we have is, I mean, we've because of God's word, we have seen a picture of Jesus that is so glorious and of his redemptive plan that it has just captured us. And so that's why we preach and teach, but also why we established a college and a seminary here in Minneapolis. And our goal there is to help students see for themselves through their own careful study of the scripture mm-hmm. who Jesus is and what the word says and what God's purpose in redemptive history is, and then just to unleash them. And some will go into the marketplace. Some will be homeschool moms and some will go into pastoral ministry. Some will go to missions. But wherever you go, I want them to go with a world Christian mindset that God does have a global purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And that somehow we fit in.
And Tom, if they want to maybe somebody needs to go to this college or seminary.
Mm-hmm.
What's the name of it?
It's called Bethlehem College and Seminary. It's got a good website.
Bethlehem College and Seminary, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Just
correct.
Google that,
yep,
and they'll get it.
Exactly.
Okay. And also, if you want more information about Tom's ministry and the Cameroon ministry, tomsteller.com, and you can do that. And, you know, Tom, we got about less than 2 minutes. Why don't you pray?
Okay.
Would you mind praying for our audience that they'd be involved in missions and just the call of God to bring
sure.
people to Christ?
Father, I thank you for the privilege to be here with my lifelong friend, Tom Brock, and how you have used him and have used this ministry right here. I thank you for every person that listens and that is hungry for your word and is hungry for you, or at least searching for you. And you somehow bring them across this television program. And Lord, I just pray that you would use the truth that goes out from this program every time it's on the air. And Lord, I do pray that it will stimulate not only concern for our local churches and our local states, but also concern for the world.
Mm-hmm.
We just grieve that there are still people groups in Cameroon and other places that have never even heard the name of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And Lord, we just want to be faithful to your commission to make disciples of all the nations. We want
mm-hmm.
all the peoples to praise you, O God. And
mm-hmm.
so use us to that end,
yes,
I pray. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Well, Tom, thank you so much. Big shoulder knock during COVID. And everybody, just thank you for watching the show. Just to catch you up to date, we now have added a second national network. So we're reaching a lot more people than we used to. And it's because of your prayers and your support. And if you are so led to help this program stay on the air, we're trying to reach people for Christ. And you'll see the info on how you can support us with our website. God bless.
Amen.
Thank you for watching the Pastor Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the gospel of Christ because of our generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org. Or write The Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you today and always.
If you've been blessed by the Pastor Study, would you consider a tax-deductible gift to help us reach more people with the good news of Jesus Christ? You can donate at our website, pastorstudy.org, two S's, or mail a check to the Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the Lord bless you and have a wonderful week.